good morning, everyone. So good to have you with us, wherever you're watching us from. And we're just excited for what God is doing as we move into this fall. And I want to encourage you, if you're interested in being part of that finance course, to email us. Of course, the email is office@sanisbaptist.org, and we'll get in touch with you and get you signed up for that course. It has been a blessing. Rob is a great teacher. I want to encourage you to sign up. Before we jump into the new series I have for us this morning, I just want us to just again pray. Father, thank you for all the good things you're doing in our lives. In this season of uncertainty and confusion, you are the rock that we can lean on. You are our fortress. And God, many people today need to know your presence in their lives. I think of those who are mourning, those who have lost loved ones. I think of Carolyn Snyder, who lost her father this last week. Her and her family, Father, need your comfort, your presence. I think of others who have lost loved ones during these last few months, who have not been able to mourn well. God, I pray your presence would be with them. I think of those on the west coast of the United States right now who are experiencing the devastation of fires, have lost their homes, have lost loved ones. God, once again, your presence is needed. Father, more than anything, we need to know you in these days. Father, more than anything, we need to call out to you. And so, Father, as we begin this new series, I pray that you will speak to us. I pray that you will encourage us. I pray that you will help us learn the language of lament well. Father, I pray that you would bless us and move with us through this fall. In Jesus' name, amen. Early last week, I was sitting on my patio with a cup of coffee, and I was drinking the coffee, and I was just thinking about how blessed I am to live in Canada. As you look at what's going on in the United States, you look at what's going on around the world, we are truly blessed to live in this country. And I was thinking about Canadians, and I was thinking that most Canadians share a common desire. And the common desire is this: to live a life that satisfies the hunger for relationships, for well-being, for security, and for purpose. I mean, most of us don't expect to live forever, but we would like to journey through life somewhat healthy. Most people don't want to be extremely rich, but they do want to have enough money to pay the bills. Most Canadians, I think, don't want dozens of best friends, but they do want a few meaningful relationships. Additionally, many Canadians desire to live a predictable life, one that can be explained and managed. I know someone who really desires to live a comfortable, safe, predictable, explainable, managed life. And because of that, this person spends a lot of time being frustrated and stressed. Because while she desires to live this predictable, manageable life, life is anything but predictable. I mean, just consider the last few months with COVID. COVID has turned our lives on its head. And yet, when you think about it, life has gone on. People go to work, we're going back to school, people have given birth, other people have lost loved ones. It seems like life is going on and COVID is being templated on top of it. And as life moves on with COVID sitting on top of it, many, many people have experienced loss over the last few months. For some people, it's been the loss of being connected with those they love. I don't know if you saw that picture yesterday. I was reading through Apple News, and there was this picture of this elderly gentleman sitting outside on a chair looking through the window at his wife at a care home. And every day he goes there and he sits in this chair and he sings to his wife. they're experiencing the loss of being together. Others over this last few months have experienced the loss of a job or maybe the loss of a business they built up. Many people are experiencing the loss of gathering together to worship. Others are experiencing the loss of something they've been planning. I know of 4 weddings that were canceled this summer. Anticipation, expectation, and then loss. Some of you have experienced the loss of a loved one. Haven't been able to gather together people to mourn well. The last few months have been a season of loss. And as we live in this time of loss, a time when we really need to regain the art of living with uncertainty and pain and loss. And the first step to regaining the art of living with uncertainty and loss is to admit or acknowledge that we don't lament well today. We don't lament well today. What do I mean by lament? Lament means to grieve, to sorrow, to cry. It means to pour out your troubles in an outward, verbal way. To lament means to give voice to your suffering and your pain. Lament is the language of those who are struggling with sadness and loss and doubt and heartache. And we don't use the language well today because we live in a culture that seeks to avoid suffering and grieving. We live in a culture that says it's not okay to be sad or to cry. It's not okay to be afraid or to struggle. It's not okay to be angry or to grieve. We live in a culture that says it's not okay to experience those negative emotions. I mean, think about the funerals you've attended. Often the tears are wiped away before anyone has had a chance to weep. Most funerals are lament light. We need to face the fact that we don't lament well today. Here's what we do well. We stuff our stuff deep down inside. We do that really, really well. We're good at stuffing our stuff deep down inside and then giving voice to pretend emotions we don't really feel. Have you ever gone to an event and you're in a group of any size and you're dying inside, you're grieving, you're sad, but as you walk into this group, you put on a smiley face, and when people say, "How are you doing?" you say, "I'm fine." But you're pretending. And North American Christ followers do this really, really well. Our North American version of Christianity doesn't leave much room for emotions like despair and sadness and fear and uncertainty and deep doubt. Some people feel if they want to belong, if they want to be accepted, they need to stuff their pain, their doubt, their grief, their despair deep down inside and then be happy and upbeat and smiley all the time. Which explains, at least in part, why so many North American Christ followers struggle with issues like depression. And let me say this. North American church services often don't help us here. The prayers are always positive. The songs are upbeat and celebratory. Often church services give the impression God can only be worshipped by a happy soul with a smiling face and a positive attitude. And that can create a mismatch between what people are hearing and singing and what they're experiencing in life. One person wrote, after life hit on a Saturday and they went to church on a Sunday, they wrote this: "The following day was Sunday, and I went to church. But I could not sing the songs of praise that were included in the worship because of the tears in my eyes and the lump in my throat. I wanted to protest, not praise. Now let me be clear. Celebration is certainly not wrong. We're encouraged in Scripture to celebrate. We need to celebrate God and His great acts. That's an important piece of what we do when we gather together, either in a room or online. Celebration is important. But with the absence of lament, our worship is not complete. How can we be honest before God if all we ever sing are praise songs? How can we be honest before God if all we ever pray are upbeat prayers? Sorrow-filled prayers can be some of the deepest expressions of worship. And I believe today people are aching for words that express the reality of their lives. People are crying out today to learn the language of lament. Because lament shows us how to process our pain and our grief and our sorrow and our questions and even our anger. Today we desperately need to learn the language of lament. The simple truth is this. A lot of Christ followers would be much healthier if they stopped faking it, stopped posing, stopped bottling up or pushing down their pain, and instead learned the language of lament. And that's why we need the Psalms. The Psalms understand the human condition. As theologian N.T. Wright has written, he says this, "The Psalms are inexhaustible and deserve to be said, sung, chanted, whispered, learned by heart, and even shouted from the rooftops." And then he says this, "They express all the emotions we are ever likely to feel, including some we hope we may not. And they lay them raw and open in the presence of God." Isn't that second paragraph great? They express all the emotions we're ever likely to feel, including some we hope we may not, and lay them raw and open in the presence of God. We need the Psalms, especially the lament Psalms. I don't know if you know this, of the 150 Psalms, at least 57 of them are lament. There are at least 57 lament psalms where the psalmists pour out their troubles and their sorrows and their doubts and their questions and their anger to God. And over the next few weeks, we're going to journey through some of these lament psalms together. And they're going to teach us that we can cast our cares on God even when we think God is the problem. They're going to teach us that we have a God who invites us to speak, even shout, the full range of human emotions and thoughts to Him. In these laments, we're going to hear people's agony. We're going to feel their pain and their suffering and their anger and their doubt and their despair. And because of that, and because of the honesty and the rawness of these psalms, some people find the lament psalms make them uncomfortable. And I think that's because the lament psalms challenge us to engage those emotions and thoughts that we bury deep down inside. Those emotions and those thoughts that we really don't want to deal with, that we really don't want to engage. And yet the lament psalms encourage us. They challenge us to engage them. They also give us permission to not be okay. The lament psalms tell us it's okay to not be okay. We will see in these psalms it's okay to be sad and afraid. It's okay to be angry and to struggle. It's okay to fail and to grieve and to weep and to question God. Here's an example of a lament psalm. Let me read this to you. It's Psalm 88. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, who you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends, and you have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in places of darkness, and or your righteous deeds, in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. Well, that's positive and uplifting, isn't it? And yet, while the words are dark and everything seems to have gone wrong and there seems to be no hope in sight, darkness is my closest friend. As you listen to all of that, there's something refreshing about it. There's honesty there. There's authenticity there. There's vulnerability there. There's a realness there. And there's something refreshing about that. And while it may appear as we journey through the Psalms that the psalmists are having a breakdown of faith, that they're walking away from God, we're going to see over the next few weeks that that is far from what is happening. As we move through the laments together, we're going to see that much of the protest and the anger and the questioning hurled at God does not come from his enemies, but rather from those who love and trust him the most. In the Psalms, it's not those who lack faith who lament, but those who are recognized for their trust and their strong faith who lament. Moses, David, various temple leaders. It seems those who are closest to God feel at liberty to pour out their lament to him in honest and raw ways. The laments they have, the words they share, offer us words that we can use on our own journey. Let me share some words from Psalm 13. This is an example of words that we can personalize and use. Psalm 13, it's a short lament psalm. It goes like this. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. While pain often gives rise to prayerlessness, lament is the historic prayer language of God followers who are hurting and struggling. Lament psalms are prayers, honest prayers, prayers we can pray. Psalm 10 begins this way in verse 1. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourselves in times of trouble? When was the last time you began a prayer like that? You see, the lament psalms allow us to talk to God about the way life really is. They help bring the real you into the presence of a real God. And we need to learn to do that today. And that's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. Over the next few weeks, we're going to learn the language of lament together. And we're going to learn to speak that language together. Let me close this way this morning. One day, as the Bible teaches us, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And when that time comes, perhaps we'll sing the Psalms, but we'll not sing all of them. In God's presence, there will be no need to lament. All our complaints will be complete. All our requests will have been answered. Heavenly praise will have replaced our earthly groanings. But right now, today, we live in between two worlds. As I've often said, God had his D-Day, the cross and the resurrection, and God will have that V-Day, a new heaven and a new earth. And right now we live in this in-between time. And as we live in this in-between time, lament is one of our songs on our journey. And embracing this divinely given language will not only deepen our understanding of God and his grace, it will prepare us to navigate life when sorrow like sea billows roll. It will allow us to journey through this pandemic well. Lament should be one of the responses to the pandemic. When we have to go around wearing masks, when we have to be socially distanced from people we care about, when we're not gathering to worship together, when we can't gather to mourn or to celebrate, when people are dying with nobody by their bedside, it is time to lament. Thus, our goal this fall is to learn from the lament psalms the art of living with uncertainty, pain, and loss. The art of lamenting well. In the meantime, this week, as you journey through this season of uncertainty, allow lament to do a work in your life. And then this fall, together, let's let lament become our teacher. And this fall, let's together learn the language of lament well. Let me pray. Father, thank you for today. And Father, thank you for the Psalms, and thank you for the honesty we're going to experience in them. God, I pray this fall, as we move through a fall that's uncertain, that's confusing, for some it's chaotic, for others it's carrying loss. Father, as we move through the fall together, may we learn to lament well together. Teach us the language. Teach us the lost art of lamenting. Teach us the lost art of living with uncertainty and pain and suffering and loss. And thank you that we have a God who we can cry out to, who we can be honest with. And God, create within us a rawness and an honesty that we not only share with you, but we're willing to share with a few others. Father, rather than stuff everything down, may we bring it to you with open hands, allowing you to take it. And so as we move through this week, Lord, may we be people who call out to you, people who praise you, people who celebrate you and your great works, and people who also lament honestly and openly to our loving, gracious God. In Jesus' name, amen.